Radio Prague News.
Czech lawmakers in the lower house on Friday succeeded in passing a bill recognizing resistance fighters who opposed Czechoslovakia's communist regime. The health minister and doctors' representatives have agreed they will continue to try and work out a deal to avert the looming healthcare crisis. A regional court has ordered a hospital in East Bohemia to pay 3 million crowns in damages to the parents of a baby girl who was paralyzed for life. Czech lawmakers in the lower house on Friday succeeded in passing a bill recognizing resistance fighters who opposed Czechoslovakia's communist regime. The bill passed in a first reading. Under the proposal, members of the Third Resistance could receive the status of war veterans and receive compensation accordingly. Compensation would also be based on the level of past activity, and eligibility would be determined by the Defense Ministry in cooperation with the country's Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes. The bill will now be debated by committees in the Chamber of Deputies over 3 months instead of the regular two. In related news, the MP and former head of the Communist Party, Miroslav Grebeníček, railed against the bill in the lower house on Friday, calling it a political adoration of past terrorist acts. And he said members of the resistance had often been immature adventurers. Mr. Grebeníček, who led the communists from 1993 to 2005, spoke for 60 or so minutes, drawing protest from government MPs, who then walked out. The passing of the bill on Friday was opposed by the communists, together with 7 members of the opposition Social Democratic Party. The health minister, Leos Heger, and representatives of hospital doctors, unhappy over current wages, have laid the groundwork for a possible agreement to try and avert a major healthcare crisis. Some 3,800 hospital doctors have handed in their notice as part of an organized campaign to protest low wages and will leave their jobs at the beginning of March unless some kind of consensus is reached. Minister Heger said on Friday that he and trade union representatives had discussed a number of key areas, although the proposed pay rise is still a point of contention. The health minister has offered a rise in wages between 5,000 to 8,000 crowns a month, while the doctors are asking for 8 to 12. And further negotiations are set to continue on Monday. A regional court has ordered the teaching hospital in Hradec Králové, East Bohemia, to pay 3 million crowns in damages to the parents of a baby girl who was paralyzed for life after catching an infection in a hospital incubator. The parents originally sought twice the amount in compensation. The child, born prematurely with her twin sister, suffered irreversible brain damage after catching the infection and now requires permanent medical attention, the parents said. In recent years, Czech courts have had to address similar complaints regarding hospitals. In 2009, a hospital in Semily, East Bohemia, had to pay more than 500,000 crowns to the parents of a 4-year-old boy who died following routine surgery. I'm Jan Vellinger, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Christian Falvey. Thanks for tuning in. Today, Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas is on his first trip to France, meeting with his counterpart and the French President Nicolas Sarkozy. We'll have a roundup of the week's business news, and after that, in this week's arts, we'll look at a new photo exhibition tracing Czech photography back to the Velvet Revolution. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas is in Paris for a 2-day visit, the first since he took office last July. Nuclear energy dominates Mr. Nečas's agenda on the trip. On Thursday, the Czech Prime Minister and his French counterpart, François Fillon, signed an agreement on cooperation in the energy, education, and other sectors. Mr. Nečas is also set to meet French President Nicolas Sarkozy later on Friday. Jan Richter has the details.
Relations between the Czech Republic and France hit a low point a few years ago during the Czech presidency of the European Union. Czech politicians felt that President Nicolas Sarkozy and his team had little trust in the first post-communist country holding the rotating presidency of the European Council. Whether the French were right or wrong about the Czech presidency, these issues seem to have been swept under the carpet. On Thursday, Petr Nečas and French Prime Minister François Fillon signed an agreement on cooperation between the two countries in security, energy and science and research sectors. Tereza Šupová is covering Mr. Nečas's visit for the Czech daily Lidové noviny. She described the main topics during the Prime Minister's meeting.
They had a lot of issues to discuss. Yesterday they were talking about three main issues, as Mr. Nečas said. The first one was bilateral relations between our two countries. Second one was European Union and the changes of Lisbon Treaty and all the things around European Union. And the third one was energy.
Cooperation in nuclear energy dominates the agenda of Mr. Nečas's Paris trip. The French nuclear group Areva is one of three bidders for a multi-billion deal to build two new blocks at the Czech nuclear power plant in Temelín. Mr. Nečas informed his hosts about the selection procedure and said Czech companies would like to cooperate closely with Areva and other firms should the French nuclear firm land the big contract. Lidové noviny, Tereza Šupová again.
The Czechs are trying to offer to the French side that when Areva will be the winner, in exchange cooperate with the Czech companies more. With Prime Minister Nečas, there are a lot of businessmen now in Paris, and they had a meeting with the Minister of Trade, and they had a meeting with the chiefs of Areva and other companies. So maybe there is something like more cooperation with the Czech companies.
When it came to EU affairs, however, it was obvious that French and Czech positions differ. France, along with Germany, is pushing for amendments to the Lisbon Treaty that would introduce tighter fiscal rules and a closer economic governance within the Eurozone. The Czech Republic is outside the 17 EU nations which have the common European currency, but Prime Minister Petr Nečas said that for Czechs, hearing about the planned measures feels like biting into a lemon. Despite these differences, the relations between the two countries, or at least their governments, seem to have been given a new impulse. Tereza Šupová recounts how Mr. Nečas waxed lyrical about their rapport.
What I have seen, I think, yes, they have improved. As the Prime Minister had said, that now he can say that relations are the same as the sky without clouds, so that everything has improved and everything is forgotten.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas is scheduled to meet French President Nicolas Sarkozy later on Friday, probably hoping relations between Prague and Paris will stay on course, even after the encounter with the prickly French leader.
Thanks to Jan Richter for that report. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey, and I'm joined in the studio now by Mr. Chris Johnstone, who has prepared a rundown of the week's news in business.
The Czech National Bank sees inflation and unemployment slipping over the next 2 years, with wages and interest rates climbing. The bank expects consumer price rises at 2.3% by the end of this year, slipping to 2.2% by the end of 2012. Unemployment is seen sliding from an average of 8.8% this year to 8% next. But wages are expected to climb by 4.2% in 2012 from the more modest 2.7%, and interest rates are seen rising from around 1.3% this year to 2% next year.
Some Czechs might be preparing for the opening of the jobs markets in neighboring Germany and Austria on March 1st, but the rich neighbors are also making preparations, and it is not exactly an open-arms welcome. Both countries are reported to be intensively preparing laws that would prevent local companies from hiring cheap Czech workers. Austrian preparations appear to be the most advanced, including a proposed law to punish companies that offer wages below Austrian standards. Germany is meanwhile preparing plans for a minimum wage of around 7.5 euros an hour. Czech unions say the stress on minimum pay levels could be an inspiration to stamp out abuse at home. Germany and Austria won a 7-year exemption from opening their labor markets after the Czech Republic and other ex-communist countries joined the European Union in 2004.
Around 2 trillion crowns, around 100 billion US dollars, has been earned by foreign investors in the Czech Republic over the last decade, with more than half that figure made up of dividend payments channeled abroad, according to the business daily Hospodářské noviny.
The paper highlights the trend of many foreign-owned firms to repatriate an increasing proportion of profits compared with investments in the country. That is a turnaround from the situation 10 years ago. It picks on the case of the bank Chaos Aubert, which has paid out more than 63 billion crowns to its Belgian owners over the last 10 years. That is around 25 billion crowns more than it paid out for its share in the bank in the first place.
The Czech government is covering all the bases in its preparations for the expansion of the Temelín nuclear power plant. It has commanded 6 reports on the problems and implications of what has been dubbed the contract of the century. These will cover such issues as whether the high voltage grid can be reinforced in time to ship the extra electricity, whether more costs can be shouldered by the main foreign contractor, and if the country's nuclear watchdog is up to the job of supervising the project. The reports should be delivered by the end of 2012, in time for the big announcement on the choice of the main contractor for the 2 new reactors in 2013.
As well as the possibility of helping out in a looming hospital crisis, the Czech military is also being called on to assist with its strained budget by selling off a series of hoddy hotels and flats. The military owns around a dozen such mountain and spa hotels, including 3 in the western spa resort of Karlovy Vary, as well as tens of smaller chalets and centres dating back to its privileged position under the communist regime. A sale of around 1,600 flats in Prague is also planned to their current tenants.
That was Radio Prague's English gentleman, Chris Johnstone. A quick note to shortwave listeners in the southeastern United States. We are pleased to advise you that our English and Spanish programs are being rebroadcasted on Radio Miami on the frequency 9955. For that broadcast schedule, please see WRMI.net. Now stay tuned for the latest installment of our weekly arts program, brought to you on this occasion by Jan Wellinger.
What exactly happened is the key question or starting point for a fascinating new exhibition which opened on Thursday at the Galeria Rudolfinum in Prague. Entitled Mutating Medium, the show focuses on changes in Czech photographic art over the last 20 years, as artists working in the medium shifted from traditional methods to new ways of seeing and treating the image, blurring at the edges with other forms, other media. The exhibition follows on the massive success of Decadence Now and has 150 dynamic and unusual works which should prove just as stimulating. I caught up with the curator of Mutating Medium, Pavel Vanchat, on the day of the opening. He described how much over the last 2 decades work with the photographic image has changed.
It's definitely a big shift. It's a big shift from the very beginning of the show, where you can see some quite classical, let's say postmodern or symbolist photographers, up to the last point of the show where you can see not even photographs, you can see just shades and lights, and like the picture itself is breaking apart into pieces and is being remodeled again into something completely new. This medium is mutating through these 20 years into many different forms, many different formats, many different multimedia solutions in the field of contemporary art. It's important to stress that this is not so much exhibition of photography, it's more exhibition of contemporary art using photography and about the possible solutions, different solutions, how to incorporate the photography into contemporary art.
Many directions have been inspired by the evolution in technology and the advent of the digital image, which could be newly addressed, distorted, reinvented. And Mutating Medium shows gradual evolution, but also thematic jumps and aesthetic overlap and sharp juxtaposition and contrast. The show is divided along 5 lines. The pictorialists, strategists, manipulators, non-photographers, and post-photography. Work displayed early in the show includes that of Ivan Pinkava, known for his use of symbolic or biblical references or narratives in portraits that represent individuals as alabaster-like and androgynous. Pavel Vanchat again.
His works are one of the most classical in the exhibition. On the other hand, all the exhibition is set together that many of the artists who even appear at the beginning or at the end appear in some single or few works in some other places of the exhibition to make some comparison between the other artists which are not even in their group in their similar area, but I try to bring some, let's say, confrontative approaches to all the rooms of the exhibition to get as much as possible from the comparison of different eras, different genres, different approaches.
Similarly, the curator took a special approach to the interiors of the 19th century neo-Renaissance building.
It was quite difficult. I must say the team of Rudolfinum Gallery is really perfect and professional, and they even allowed me to work in some not so classical way, like using the nails directly into the walls, which is not very common for 19th century Kunsthalle. And also it's difficult that the whole space has got that classical appearance where you would expect more some 19th century painters. But I try to keep the rhythm of the exhibition quite neurotic or nervous, and to, let's say, to beat off the atmosphere of the space.
Indeed, much of the work on display is stimulating, whether the calm but somehow nerve-wracking silver bromide seas of Pavel Banka, Markéta Otava's Cesta, The Journey, which features an abstract black shape in an historic train yard, but no train. Or Veronika Bromova's brutally anatomical digitally retouched photographs from her 1990s series Pohlede. There are the ultra-bright digitally altered landscapes by Štěpánka Šimlová and an untitled lambda print of Bright Roses by Jiří Týn, which forms the show's central image. Lambda prints produced by digital laser exposure of photographic film are extremely sharp, extremely high resolution. I asked curator Pavel Vanchat why this image in particular had been used to highlight the show, and we talked about the artist's broader work.
We can talk about the youngest artist in the exhibition, Jiří Týn, who from quite classical photography, which he studied in Academy of Applied Arts in Prague. He got to three-dimensional works, and in his recent works he is even working with photogram, like this avant-garde technique. He's even making some three-dimensional sculptures which resemble the photography itself, but in fact are made just of pure single color lights and few like wire objects with some simple geometric forms. So that's as far as the photography can go today, and that's this end is kind of like balanced with the beginning and is showing the tension between these 20 years.
And of course you chose one of his images as the sort of title image for this show. Correct.
I didn't. Petr Nedomadic, the director of the gallery, and we were choosing within 3-4 different pictures, and each of the pictures had different graphic designer, so we chose the best graphic designer, which kept well with the image.
But there's something very sort of poetic about that image. Like you say, there's a classical element to it.
It is very much classical. On the other hand, it's a little bit over-the-top classical. So that's tension at the end of photography, that if you come up with beautiful photograph of beautiful rose, you cannot take it anymore as a beautiful rose. You have to think why anybody did that photograph of the rose, and I think it's getting a little bit scary to have such a beautiful photograph today.
As for one of the main ideas viewers may take away, that photography in many ways melded with other media, subverted or was subverted by, absorbed, distilled by other forms, only to resurface and metamorphosize again. Digital advances, now commonplace, provided new freedom for artists to explore. Pavel Vanchat, once more.
Definitely it gave much more freedom. Like today it's like I have a idiom for that, that today the photography is not so much defined as a single branch of art, but it's becoming something like just a technique on the caption below the image. In fact, it's difficult to say, like, if there's the photography tradition, if it's continuing in some strict way. It's more like it's being broadened to quite any aspect of the contemporary art.
Visitors of the exhibition, which lasts at the Rudolfinum until May 1st, may also be interested to take a guided tour of the works on display, and a beautifully produced 150-page catalog is also available, though for now only in Czech, although an English supplement is in the works. You can find out more information about Mutating Medium at our website, www.radio.cz.
That was Jan Wellinger ending that edition of The Arts. Topping off our show today is the next edition of our Soundcheck series, where the Czech language meets the language of music, and brought to you today by Dita Asiedu.
Hello and welcome to Soundcheck. Today's idiom comes from želva, or tortoise, a very popular song by the 1960s Czech answer to the Beatles, the band Olympic. The phrase we'll learn today is the Czech equivalent for to kill two birds with one stone, or zabít dvě mouchy jednou ranou.
Abych zabil dvě mouchy jednou ranou.
The Czech phrase zabít dvě mouchy jednou ranou literally translates as to kill two flies with one blow. Although most Czechs know the song, only few would be able to come up with a creative explanation of what it is about. But the phrase makes sense, so here it is for you again.
Abych zabil dvě mouchy jednou ranou.
You've probably noticed that I say zabít, while the singer says zabil, which is the past tense first person singular of to kill. In fact, the first person singular is actually zabil jsem, with the auxiliary verb jsem meaning I am. So, if you're a man and want to say I killed two birds with one stone, it would be zabil jsem dvě mouchy jednou ranou. But to make it a little more complicated, if you're a woman, then you would have to say zabila jsem dvě mouchy jednou ranou. And finally, to complicate it a little more, you should know that zabil is also the second and third person singular, as in you killed, which would be zabil jsi or zabila jsi, or he or she killed, which is zabil or zabila. And that's the end of this edition of Soundcheck. Join us again next week when we'll be back with another new phrase. Until then, review today's phrase on our website, www.radio.cz/English, where this edition and all other editions of Soundcheck are available in text. And zabít dvě mouchy jednou ranou, kill two flies with one blow, by hearing a popular Czech song, as well as learning a new phrase.
That was Dita Asiedu with Soundcheck, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.